We're going to turn to several passages of Scripture. You can take notes there on the back of your bulletin as well. And if you want to go ahead and write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have 5 points for you today. 5 revelations that I'm going to give you about the Lord's Supper. And the reason why I'm teaching on this today is most Christians, and I'm saying Christians, don't value the Lord's Supper or water baptism, which are the two ordinances or sacraments of the New Testament church that Jesus instituted, because they don't understand them. And the reason why, we've never been taught about what it really means. A lot of us just think that they're symbols. They're way more than symbols. What happens if you have a spiritual understanding of what the Lord's Supper is, or communion, and water baptism is, what happens is there's a spiritual impartation that happens when you do it in the right, with the right understanding. And so that's what my prayer is today, that as we look into this, as we see in the Scripture, you're going to get a biblical understanding of what the Lord's Supper is, truly is. And one of these days I'm going to do another teaching. I've done it before, but I'll do a teaching on water baptism. But today is just the Lord's Supper. It's also called communion or the Eucharist. The Lord's Supper is another word, and the word Eucharist is derived from the Greek word for thanksgiving. It's a time of giving thanks to the Lord for all that He's done for us. The story of the Last Supper, if you want to study this for yourself, okay, and I encourage you to do that, was, and I told you last Sunday that I was going to talk about the day before the cross. There's a lot of things that happened on the day before the cross, but I think one of the most important things is when He had the Passover meal with His disciples. And this is where He instituted the Lord's Supper. And so the story of the Last Supper is sometimes heard, or the Lord's Supper. On the night before Christ's crucifixion is reported in 4 books of the New Testament. It's in Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 22 is what we're going to look at today, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You might want to turn to Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're a professional Bible turner, you can also turn to Isaiah 25. That was a joke, by the way, okay? Y'all loosen up a little bit, all right? Luke chapter 22 says this, verses 14 through 20. It's the institution of the Lord's Supper. And when the hour came, He reclined at the table, and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired. And this, I underline that is because I want you to say that. Say, earnestly desired. I want you to understand that Jesus, this table, we have tables up here and a table there in the back. When you come to that table to have the Lord's Supper or communion on a Sunday or whenever you do it, if it's at home or whatever, Jesus earnestly desires for you to do that. Yes. He desires that fellowship with you, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And that's actually wrote on this table up here. And in a lot of churches, you'll see that wrote, this do in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And so this was the Passover meal that Jesus shared with His disciples the day before the cross, the night before the cross, the crucifixion. And then He instituted the Lord's Supper at the end of this meal. And the Lord's Supper is pilgrim food. And like the Passover, it is a meal on the way. I encourage you to go back to the book of Exodus to study about the Passover meal. But the whole focus of the Passover meal was on the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. And so Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you'll notice, one of the Gospels that did not have about the Lord's Supper was the Gospel of John. And when you read the Gospel of John, John tries to tell you in his Gospel, he's teaching that the Lord's Supper actually takes the place of the Passover meal now in the New Testament church. That Passover meal, every bit of it, points to Jesus and what He did at the cross for us. So the Lord's Supper directs our attention by directing our senses to what Christ has done for us, where He has put us, and where He will take us. In our journey through this wilderness, Christ Himself is our manna, our bread from heaven. And the Lord's Supper helps sustain us on the way because it all points to Him. It signifies Him. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning, and or in your smartphones, however you're getting there. And I want to show you, and when I was studying this, I was like, Lord, why didn't, and I don't know why, I can't tell you why, but I found this interesting. I figured the Apostle Peter would be the one that had this revelation of the Lord's Supper. He was there, right? Or Peter, James, or John, either one, that they would have had this revelation. But God gave this revelation to the Apostle Paul. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When I was studying this, I thought maybe one of the disciples taught him this. But if you see there in verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." This was a direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul received, and then he's giving it to us, the New Testament church, that the Lord Jesus, what we just read, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, everybody say, give thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often," everybody say often, "as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often," and I underline that, "for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," or drink the cup, "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and the drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." We're going to talk about this here in a little bit, what all that means. "That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the Lord, along with the world." So I'm going to give you five revelations of the Lord's Supper today, okay? And this is going to, what my desire is to see more people coming to the Lord's table on a Sunday morning because you have an understanding of it. Some people don't come to the Lord's table because they've never been taught. They don't understand it. They're just saying, "Okay, that's there, and that's symbolic. I don't really feel like eating grape juice in a wafer this morning." You know, the wafers taste terrible, and they do. I'm sorry. Okay, but this is the easiest way that I know to do it was with what we have is there's a little wafer on top and the grape juice. I'm gonna give you a little deal, a little side note. Shake it up, okay? Because sometimes that grape juice settles to the stuff settles to the bottom. Shake it before you do it, and then you can just peel off the top, and that's your wafer, and then eat that, and then we're going to do that here at the end, okay? But a lot of people don't do it because they just like, I don't need breakfast this morning. And that's the way they look at it, like church breakfast, like I don't need grape juice. And guys, there is so much more to it than that. It's not just symbolic. When you do it with the right biblical understanding, there's a spiritual impartation that happens, and we're going to talk about that. Okay, here's number one is the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of redemption. Every time you come to that table, whether you do that here at church, whether you do it at home, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say this because I don't want to forget this. You don't have to have a priest serve it to you. Jesus is your high priest. Amen? So you can do this at home. And I encourage those that are watching online, go ahead and get your grape juice or your wine and get a piece of bread or a cracker because we're going to have, so they can have communion with us at the end of service. I forgot to say that. So the Lord's Supper, every time you come to this table, you are preaching about your salvation. When you come to that table, you're declaring to the darkness, to the enemies of hell, "I have been saved and washed by the blood of the Lamb." Yes. And you're preaching it. You're preaching your own redemption. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We offer, and this is something I prayed about as a pastor, is like, how often do we do this, okay? And so we have it offered here every Sunday at this table back here, these two tables at the front. Then there's times that we need to do it corporately and truly have communion, which means sharing in common, that we're doing this as a church family, and we're going to do that today. And we try to do that twice a year during this time of Easter and then also around Christmas is what we try to do corporately. But we offer this, the emblems, every Sunday. And so this is why I want to teach this, so that you understand why they're here every Sunday and that you'll start doing it and receive from it. So the frequency of the Lord's table is left entirely up to the church or the individual, for as often, and it doesn't say how often. You can do this every day if you want to, if you truly do it every day and have a biblical understanding of it. But I think, here's something, I just want to put this little caveat in there. I think it can be so frequent it becomes meaningless, and we don't want it to ever become meaningless, okay? And or it can become so infrequent that you miss the vitality it contributes to a believing life. So we've got to find that balance. But the deal is, I want you to have this understanding, this biblical understanding of what the Lord's Supper truly is. As well, every time that I come to the Lord's table, I proclaim the impact of the Lord's death, which is my salvation and redemption. And I'm going to tell you guys something that costs something, that costs Jesus his life. He died in your place. You've got to have that revelation when you come to that table. And by taking the bread and the cup, you're proclaiming that Jesus purchased eternal life for me. Yes. And that I can have that abundant life now and in eternity. So you can also proclaim it by partaking with others, which we're going to do here in a little bit, for the word communion, which means a sharing in common. Okay, here's number two. Number two, the Lord's Supper is a declaration of dependence. That when you come to that table, you're telling the Lord, I can't do this life on my own. I need you, Jesus. I need you to be my Savior. Not only my Savior, I need you to be my Lord, because I want to listen to you and obey you, and you tell me what to do, because I can't do this life on my own. There's a passage of Scripture that just has always, we're going to read it, because and if you don't have a spiritual understanding, you're going to think, my gosh, Jesus wants us to be all cannibalistic Christians, and that's not what he's saying, okay? This is in John chapter 6. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As of the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread of the fathers ate and died. We're just talking about the manna in the Old Testament. Whoever feeds on this bread, because he's saying, I'm the bread of life, will live forever. Okay, can you imagine? He's telling this to his disciples, and they're just like, say, what? What's he talking about? Eat his flesh and drink his blood. This is getting crazy, right? Jesus is cray-cray. Now, and if you'll go on and read that, the Bible even says that many left him at this time, because this is a challenge. And I'm going to say this, when you come to this table and you declare your dependence upon the Lord and you can't live life your own way, something the Lord's going to tell you, he's going to stretch you as a disciple. And that's what he was doing here. He was stretching them, saying, I want you to grow some more. I want you to follow me. Keep following me. Keep following. I got more for you. And they're like, man, we ain't into this stuff, Jesus. Okay? And the Bible says that some left him at this point. Don't leave him, guys. This is not an hour to be leaving the Lord. This is not an hour to be leaving the Lord. At the Lord's table, we don't believe the bread. I want you to make emphasis on this. At the Lord's table, we don't believe that the bread becomes meat or the cup turns into blood. There's some people that teach that. That's not what it is. Jesus made clear he was talking about a spiritual reality, not a physical one. Yet neither are we saying that these are just a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Jesus said there is a working of the Spirit of God that will happen in your life when you partake with the right understanding. A measure of the Holy Spirit's power will cause his life to nourish you, and if you come with receptivity and understanding, we partake in the recognition that we are dependent upon his life flow to us, among us as believers, and we need the Lord and we need each other. Yes. When we have communion together, we're saying we need you, Lord, and we need a church family. We need each other to hold us accountable. Here's number three. The Lord's Supper is a place for examination. When you come to that table, God wants you to examine yourself. And this is the way, when I was studying this, and I've studied this before, and I was like, Lord, give me an analogy. Show me what you're talking about here. Because this is where we get confused this place of examination, number three and number four that I'm fixing to share with you. And last night we had dinner at my house Jada cooked a ham, and it was kind of our, Sunday's kind of crazy for me as a pastor. So we had our Sunday dinner last night, and it was kind of our Palm Sunday celebration. Jada cooked a ham. We had the kids over. It was crazy when you have toddlers, right? There they are, right there. Not my toddlers. There's parents right there, four and three, and we had fellowship. I prayed. We had our grandkids pray. We're teaching them around the table. We're having fellowship around the table. We actually turned the TV off. We were watching March Madness. We turned it off. We just gathered around the table, and we fellowshipped, all right? And when I was thinking about what I was sharing today, the Lord said, Mark, when you come to the table, I want to have fellowship with you, and I'm going to ask you how your day's going. I'm going to ask you, how's your walk with me going? And I want you to be honest. Because if you're not honest and judge yourself, as a good father, I'm going to discipline you. Nobody likes to hear that. Nobody likes to hear that. Because God says, I want you to take care of yourself first, right? I mean, I want you to judge yourself. I want you to examine yourself to make sure you're okay. And if you need to get anything, but as a good father, I'm going to sit there and ask, how's it going? How's school going? How's this going? How's life going? How's it been a father, Jacoby? I mean, he's going to talk to you like that at the table. Yes. God's saying, that's the kind of talk that I'm going to have. And I want you to judge yourself because I want you to grow in me. He's a good father. Here's the scripture that goes with this, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Very first thing that you've got, there's three requirements if you want to write under number three, just three real quick here. Number one, you must be born again. You don't have to be a member of Harvest Fellowship Church to have communion today. You just got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must be born again. If you're not born again, the Bible says, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that easy, okay? You must be born again. Number two is you must know your rights, and your rights are this. You don't have any. It's his righteousness that makes you right before the Father. It's Jesus' righteousness that makes you right to be able to come to that table. Nothing about you. You're not worthy, okay? But Jesus made you worthy. You're so worthy to the Father that Jesus died in your place. That's how much value that you have before the Father. And then number three is you must have a true biblical understanding, and that's what I'm trying to teach you today as your pastor, because when you really come to this table and you understand everything that Jesus did for you at the cross, spirit, soul, and body, Jesus erased the curse over you, which was sin, sickness and disease, and poverty. That's what happened. That's how powerful the cross is. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. If you come with it with that faith and that understanding of what the Word says, that you can, actually, I've heard of people that have partaken of communion with the right heart, with the right understanding, and they were healed right on the spot. Amen. Sin, sickness. Here, I do is preventative, because I believe in divine health.
Yes.
That when I come to that table, I'm going to walk in divine health.
Yes.
No sickness or disease is going to come near my home or near my dwelling. Amen. Amen. And I'm not going to walk in poverty. I'm going to have enough to provide for my family and also to be a blessing.
Yes.
All right. That's the Abrahamic blessing that God wanted. That was the curse that Jesus removed at the cross when you have that understanding. So the Lord calls us to the table as his disciples, and it's one thing to receive Jesus as Savior, to become a believer, and a whole nother thing to grow into a believer who's learning. And that's the definition of a disciple, and it relates to being shaped and accepting his disciplines in your life. That's why we come to that table, and that's why you judge yourself. That's why you examine yourself. God's word says, let a man examine himself. Why? Because Jesus wants you to have a periodic review with him to see how your life with him is coming along. And the time to do it is at the table, because if we judge ourselves, he says we won't be judged. But if we don't correct ourselves, guess what? God is a good father, and he will do it. So how do you do that? First, confess before the Lord your sin, weakness, doubt, fears, whatever it is. Come before him, speak your heart, then speak what his word says about that. Even if it contradicts what your heart says, you may not feel differently, but sow those words you speak as seed and trust God to bring the harvest out of them. We come to the table with a need to examine ourselves and see wherever the Lord is drawing us towards what I call a stretch point of discipleship. Here's number four. Everybody learning something this morning?
Yes.
Okay, two more. Number four, the Lord's Supper is a place to receive provision. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 29 through 32, the Apostle Paul says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." 1 Corinthians 11, 29. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version, because I have a story to tell you about this. Out of the King James Version, it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And I'll never forget the day that I heard that from a preacher. I was like, I'm putting it down. I'm not into this damnation stuff. For grape juice and a cracker, I'm not being damned because of that. And I didn't eat it. Okay? I was saved, but I didn't eat it because I wasn't instructed right. I wasn't taught right. If that preacher really believed that verse, he shouldn't be eating it either. Nobody in there should be eating it, okay? Did I do okay with my John Hagee voice this morning? No. Lord, forgive me. I love John Hagee. He's a preaching machine. But let me say this, and this is where I want to share a story here. The Lord calls us to his table to receive his provision. And verse 29 of this text has often been a source of confusion. "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment, damnation," in the King James Version, what I just read, "to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I used to serve in a church years ago, and I was behind the scenes, and kind of my job was to count how many people were at church and to see who was missing so that we could make pastoral follow-ups on Monday morning or the next week. And so I did that. And then also on Mondays, I was kind of in charge of, you know, helping clean up the sanctuary after church on Sunday. And so I'll never forget this. We had communion on Sunday. That scripture was read like that during that service. There was probably 300 people there that Sunday, close to it. And on Monday, I went through this. I'm very young in the Lord. I knew God had called me into the ministry, had called me to be a pastor. I felt that upon my life. But I was really young, and I was walking through the sanctuary, and I was cleaning up because there were pews, and on the pews had those little receptacles where you put the little cup and everything. And as I was going through, what I was finding out was there was a lot of them that were still full, and then they had the little cracker in the cup, so it was like exploded, and it was purple because it soaked up all the grape juice. And so I was walking around with a little trash can throwing them all away, going, "My gosh, there's a lot of people that didn't have communion, you know, today." And I was like, "Lord, what's going on with that?" And guys, I had enough of the Spirit of God in me that the Spirit of God was grieving inside of me because of this. And this is what I felt like the Father told me, and I want you to really listen to this. He said, "Mark, I will never tell my children to leave the table or put fear in them that they won't fellowship with me at the table." God, what did I read in Luke 22, what Jesus said? He earnestly desires that we come to this table and have fellowship with him. And so I want to settle this right now, this morning, so you leave here today and you never forget this, okay? There is not a person in here that's worthy to come to this table. Who makes us worthy is Jesus. And partaking in a worthy manner, What the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us there is partaking in a worthy manner means to ascribe the full worth to what Jesus Christ has done to welcome us into the presence and into fellowship with the Father. Yes. It has nothing to do with earning a place of value or acceptance. Jesus has made us worthy through his blood and the cross, not by any accomplishment of our works. The full worth of the provision of the Lord's table is not only for the forgiveness of sins, but also for every matter in your life. The bread and the cup is the testimony that he has paid for everything that we need, spirit, soul, and body. And just like a good father, just like I want my kids around that table and fellowshipping with me, he wants you around that table fellowshipping with him. And everybody said amen. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. I promise you, if you'll start coming to this table with that kind of heart and understanding, God will start talking to you, and God will start telling you what you need to do in your own life. Not in your spouse's life, not in your kids' life, but in your life. And when you start listening, guess what? Your spouse will get better. Your kids will get better. But we don't pause enough to listen to God. We're all the time telling God what we think he ought to do. And we don't pause enough to say, God, show me how to be a better father, be a better husband, be a better pastor. Father, show me how to be a better Christian. Show me, you know, God, reveal to me, you know, and take your time. But first, you got to give thanks that you even get to come to that table because of what Jesus did for us. But then that examining of yourself, and the Lord will start showing you things and telling you things. So I'm just going to say this because somebody needs to hear this. I'm a busy guy too, all right? I understand busyness. And one time, and the Lord's still teaching this, just busy, 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 just busy to all do church stuff, real estate stuff, all kinds of stuff, right? And one time I started thinking, Lord, the only time that I hear you is when I'm taking a shower. And he said, well, Mark, that's the only time you slow down to listen. Yeah. And so what I'm telling you, this table is in our lives because, and it's just like with our own, and I encourage you to start doing this as a family, have dinner, come to the table as a family and have dinner. Put the phones up, turn the phones off, turn the TV off, and have fellowship. And find out what's happening in each other's lives. It'll amaze you. And so that's what these tables are provided for here on Sunday morning, for us to slow down and talk to the Lord and have fellowship with him and let him speak to us. And everybody said amen. Here's number five. Number five, the Lord's Supper is a celebration of victory. This is Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11. It says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto the death. This do in remembrance of me. It's the basic text of the Lord's table engraved on the front of it in churches everywhere, and it's on ours right up here this morning. And in every passage where Jesus was instituting the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper, he says that. But for many people, that call to remembrance is interpreted as gloom and doom, as if Jesus is telling us this. Remember all the agony I went through for you. He did, okay? But that's not the reason you come to that table. It's a celebration of victory. Jesus turned a cross into a symbol of victory. Let me ask you this morning. Does that sound like a triumphant Savior? No, it doesn't. Consider this. In all the New Testament Gospels where Jesus is introducing this practice, it begins by saying, he doesn't say, guys, remember, I'm going to go to the cross for you and I'm going to suffer for it. He says, and he gave thanks. Because he goes, I go to make all things new. I go to make a place for you in my Father's house. Here in Revelation chapter 12, we're prompted to remember Jesus has conquered the power of the enemy. And what the Lord is telling us is when we come to his table, is we are to celebrate that through the cross. Jesus has given us victory over the enemy, over the devil. And we are called to remember him because he's conquered all the powers of hell, death, hell, and the grave. That's a great place to say amen and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so that ought to be the spirit of our approach to the Lord's table, where we look back at the cross, what Jesus did for us at the cross, but we also look forward and we look at the present, that we're saved and we're saved by grace through faith in his name, and then we look forward to heaven, that we're going to be with him for all of eternity. So it's a look back, look at the present, and a look forward. And that ought to be the spirit of our approach to the Lord's table. It's a remembrance of victory that Jesus has accomplished for us. And everybody said, amen. All right, we're going to go back to Luke chapter 22. And I'm gonna show you something here in Luke chapter 22. This is verses, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16 again. And it says, "And he said to them, I have earnestly desired," everybody say earnestly desired, "to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I want you to know that we're going to have communion here in just a little bit together. And Jesus is earnestly desiring us to do this today. He's excited that we're doing this. In verse 16, it says, "For I tell you, I will not eat until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And I was like, God, what does that mean? What was Jesus meaning there? And just as Jesus earnestly desired and called his disciples to come to the Passover feast, so he calls you and me to come to his table and partake with understanding today. And we're called to proclaim his redemptive work in our lives. What these five things: declare our dependence upon him and one another, examine ourselves that we might grow as his disciples, and receive every blessing that his sacrifice for us has provided, and celebrate his victory over the powers of darkness. Now, when you look at verse 16 again, he says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And I'm going to tell you what we're doing today when we have communion together, when we have the Lord's Supper, this is just an appetizer. Because I'm looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes. That's what this Lord's Supper looks forward to. And I love this scripture, and this is my last scripture. And we're going to have our guys get ready. Guys, Dusty, this is when our guys need to get ready to serve everybody this morning. This is in Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 8. And it says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine." This is looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. "Of rich food full of marrow and aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations." Okay? There is something over every one of us here today. The Lord tarries, there's something still over us. What Jesus did at the cross was provided us a way to have fellowship with the Father. Got us back in relationship, what we lost in the Garden of Eden. Yes. Okay? The spiritual death that happened. Physical death still hasn't been conquered. But it's about to be. It's about to be swallowed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy is death. Now for a believer, Darren Higgins, I'm going to use him as an example because I knew him. I know that he knows the Lord. Guys, he just stepped over into eternity. Yes. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. He just stepped right into eternity. Now I'm going to keep reading this, but this is what's spread over all of us today. And I love this, and it says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. It doesn't say the prophet Isaiah has spoken. It says, for the Lord has spoken. One of these days, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And I cannot wait for that day. I got a son that I'm ready to see. I've got a whole lot of family that I want to see. I tell my wife all the time, I said, I can't wait to meet your mother, Darlene, because I want to get her approval for marrying you. Yes. We have that little joke in our family. I just can't wait for that day when I get to hug her neck. Now, we're going to have communion together as a church family this morning. But here's what I want to, there's three things real quick here. First of all, the only prerequisite of having communion, the Lord's Supper, is you've got to be born again. And so that's very easy. If you're here today and you're not born again, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can just do that right there. Just say, Lord Jesus, save me. And you're saved. Now I want the guys to come. You guys come and start serving communion. Now here's the deal. There's table manners, right? Golly, last night I was trying to teach my 4-year-old, my 3-year-old table manners. Wow, that's a lot of fun. Cameron knows what I'm talking about. But where's table manners? When you get served, you're going to wait on everybody else. Amen? That's a table manner even in real life. You know, you don't eat until everybody's served. Right? Okay, right, Pastor Mark. Yeah, that's good table etiquette. That's good table manners. So we're going to eat and drink this together here in just a second. And then after we do this, we're going to go out with the song. We're going to go out with Graves into Gardens. And then I'm going to come up and bless you before we go home after the song. everybody served. Shake it up. The stuff. Has all the praise team been served up here too? Okay, we'll get the praise team served as well. A second, the way you do this, because it's in according to the scripture, what we read in Luke chapter 22, the first thing that Jesus served them was the bread, and the next thing was the cup. And so the bread's there on top. There's a little cellophane deal. You got to kind of use your thumb to get that, and that's the first thing we're going to partake of. And then I'm going to pray, and then we'll partake of the cup, and then I'm going to pray as well. Has everybody been served now? Okay. I want everybody to stand up if you can. If you can't, you can sit, okay? If you can't stand, that's okay. You can sit. But before I read Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, partaking of the Lord's Supper, when you do this, as we do this today, or if you do this on next Sunday morning, what it delivers is this. It delivers the message of the cross via our sight, our smell, our taste, and our touch. The only thing that I left out was the hearing, but you've just heard the word. So I felt like we needed to teach on this again, because the teaching of the word is what brings the faith, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God to understand and receive from the Lord. And so you can receive healing as you partake of this, if you'll believe for that, because that's what Jesus did for you at the cross. For your healing. If you're having trouble making ends meet, God doesn't want a spirit of poverty resting upon his kids. Amen? Amen. He wants you to be free of any kind of sin or any kind of bondage. He wants you to be free of any kind of sickness or disease, and he wants you to have more than enough to be a blessing to you and to your family and to others. And so Luke chapter 22, verse 19, if you'll get the piece of bread out of there. And it says, Jesus, and he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for your body. We thank you that the bread represents your body that was given for us. You died in our place on the cross. You were our substitute. But God, also there's benefits from your body. Bible says what we read in 1 Peter 2:24, that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And that's not just spiritual healing. We need spiritual healing from sin. But God, I pray that if there's anybody here in the sound of my voice that needs physical healing in any area of their body, God, I pray that you would just give them that faith to receive that, because you purchased that for them at the cross. God, we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, in Jesus' name. All right, verse 20 says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you." And the guys are going to come back around with, just hold on to that while I pray, but guys are going to come back around with a trash can here in just a second for you. Might just pass it to the end of one of the aisles there. Father, we thank you for the cup. We thank you what the grape juice or the wine, whatever we used, that what it represents the blood of Jesus, this new covenant. And the Bible says that there is no remission of sin without the blood. And the Bible says that the blood of Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. It was the perfect blood that wipes away all of our sins, wipes away all the transgressions that were against us. And Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. And we thank you that there is power in the blood. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now we're going to go out to graves in the gardens. Amen. And I want you to worship this with some more understanding this morning. Thank you. good and all the time. I want you to grab hands with somebody there next to you, your spouse, your family, and I'm going to speak a blessing over y'all today. This is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a blessed Palm Sunday. Amen. See you Easter Sunday.